The Man in Line with Beth Espy.
Faster Maya, good afternoon. Welcome to The Man in Line, an hour for you to have your say. It's Beth sitting in for Andy again today. What is on your mind? We've been hearing about Manx Care waiting times on Manx Radio this morning. Have you had any issues with the length of time it's taking to get an appointment? How easy do you find it to get on a bus? Now, we're not talking about services actually running, but actually physically getting on if you have issues with mobility. We'll have the latest from a Keys question on that shortly. And in Peel, there could be a move to fortnightly rubbish collections to encourage recycling. What do you make of that? All that and much more we can discuss. 66 13 68 is the number to call. Howard Kane waiting to take to your call. And you can also text 166177 or email studio@manxradio.com. But we've got some other bits of news that we've been hearing about this morning. The public health director, we've heard this morning that an interim director of public health has been appointed. Professor Hugo van Verden takes up the role on a temporary basis following the retirement of Dr. Henrietta Hewitt last month. In a statement issued to Manx Radio, the government says Professor van Verden has 20 years experience at a senior level in the field of public health, and he's recently held director of public health roles in Northern Ireland and NHS Highlands. So we're waiting to hear more about that. We'd love to speak to him, and we have asked that question. Peel commissioners considering plans to encourage more recycling in the town. If you live in Peel, what do you make of this? They are investigating the possibility of introducing community recycling points, and they claim that these would be in easy walking distance of every household. And once a new system was set up, the idea would be for rubbish to be collected fortnightly instead of every week. And in a newsletter to residents, the commissioners say more information will be released later this year. Now, I have spoken to Peel commissioners this morning. Unfortunately, Derek Sewell is actually on annual leave, so we can't talk to him. But perhaps we will get more information on that shortly. But we can go straight to the lines now. And Eric is on line one. Good afternoon.
Hi, Beth.
How are you doing?
Not too bad. I come up to Douglas today to go into the House of Keys to listen to the question from David Ashford about the accessibility for buses. Now, I found it a bit ironic that to go into the House of Keys this morning with my mobility scooter, a man had to come out with three planks of wood so that you can get in.
That's a good point, actually, Eric, because obviously that's a historic building and certainly nothing has been done to improve the accessibility in there.
Well, it wouldn't. This is on the outside door. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to work out. You just need to level that out so that you can get in and out. You know, and they're talking about accessibility and you can't get in the building.
So did you manage to get in to listen to the bus stops question?
Yes, I did. Very unsatisfactory answers over the time periods they're talking about. Like one of the members said, the rate they go on, they won't see it in their lifetime, never mind the lifetime of the Tin Will Go to the House of Keys. One of the things he did bring up was that they formed a committee with disabled people on it to look at accessibility on buses and elsewhere in the government. Now, I might be naive, but I would have thought that the three-year fight I've had against the buses and all the research I've done, I kind of thought I might have got onto that committee. But unfortunately, I didn't even get an interview, never mind get on it. Maybe they just want yes men on there. They'll disagree with what they want to do. I feel like I've wasted 3 years of my life.
Is this something you're going to raise, Eric? Are you going to take this any further forward?
Yes, I've already made a claim against the DOI, Bus Vannon, under the Equality Act against victimisation, because it says in the Equality Act that if you have made a complaint about the department or a person, that if if you then do not get the same treatment as other people, it's classed as victimisation, and I've put the claim in for it.
Well, just thinking about the bus stops issue, there was that question in the House of Keys this morning, and we will hear from the political member for the Department of Infrastructure, Tim Glover, who provided the details in Keys this morning. But what we did learn was that fewer than 1 in 10 bus stops on the Isle of Man have been modified to make it easier for those with mobility issues to get on board buses. 80 of the 900-plus stops on the island's bus networks have been adapted, and there's a budget of £150,000 that has been put aside to make highways more accessible. But apparently each bus stop will cost around £10,000 to change, so that means the department could afford to adapt just 15 more. I'm guessing I know your thoughts on what you heard this morning, Eric.
Well, basically, I mean, this has all come from Mr. Longworth, who has now left, and I thought maybe we'll get a bit further now. There's a freedom of information request about accessibility on buses and the committee that they set up. It's on the freedom of information page now. You know, and anybody can go and look at it. It's got the minutes of the last three meetings, which go back to 2021, and they make very interesting reading with all the lies that are in there. You know, mainly by Ian Longworth, and like you say, he's gone, he's retired, or whatever you'd like to say about him. But just one other thing I'd like to say is that your former colleague, Tim Glover, given the answers today, I'm glad he found it amusing, because personally I don't. And when he's making statements like that, to be laughing in the middle of it, I don't think it's a good view of a politician.
I didn't hear that actually myself, Eric, so not sure exactly what the issue was there, if there was something specific he was referring to.
Well, I can assure you, he found it funny.
Okay. Well, Eric, thank you very much indeed for getting in touch. And let's just hear that answer then from Tim Glover this morning. It was that question in the House of Keys talking about accessibility and the bus stops around the Isle of Man. And as we know, fewer than 1 in 10 bus stops have been modified to make it easier for those with mobility issues to board buses. This is what Tim Glover had to say.
A limited programme of works has been undertaken in the Isle of Man to make bus stops accessible. With over 900 bus stops on the island, approximately 80 bus stops have had that remedial work to improve accessibility. To identify the level of accessibility of each stop, an audit is required, following which a targeted remedial programme can then be identified. In addition to level boarding, full accessibility is dependent upon other features of the bus stop, including sufficient width of the footway, minimum is 2 metres, ideally 2.7 metres, to provide space for the ramp to be dropped, the provision of a footway surfacing, absence of pavement obstructions and dropped curbs. Whilst a number of stops have been made accessible in response to individual requests, the priority of the work undertaken to date has been to those stops that have been made accessible as part of highways maintenance programming. I actually counted on my journey in the number coming on non-bus routes and on the main road into Douglas from the south, and there's one in Ballabeg, and 16 on the main road from Ballasalla through to the top, to coming off Richmond Hill. And all the ones on the Prom have been done as well. £150,000 has been allocated in the budget of the department to undertake accessibility improvement works on the highways, and it's estimated that the remediation work required for each stop will be in the region of £10,000. This would enable remedial works to be undertaken on approximately 15 more bus stops. With regards to accessibility of buses, the department is committed to ensuring safe accessibility to the bus service for its passengers. It provides seating with extra leg room to accommodate for passengers with arthritis, and ensures that the placement of handrails, important for passengers with mobility or balance issues, is in accordance with the recommended best practice.
That's a political member for the Department of Infrastructure, Tim Glover, MHK, answering a question from Douglas North MHK, David Ashford, this morning about what's being done to make using buses more accessible. Now, really what needs to happen? Some curbs need to be lowered. Apparently our curbs are higher than in the UK. want to get more people on public transport, actually. So accessibility is key. We don't want to exclude people who have got additional mobility needs. But then we've been hearing about waiting lists. There's all sorts of priorities going on at the moment. So I'm guessing, as always, issues like this will come down to money, finances. Where does that finance need to be directed, and also in order to make the best possible use of it? 66 13 68, that's the number to call to speak live on air. You can also text 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. David's on line one now. Good afternoon, David.
Hi, Beth. I just want to support Eric there, who's been campaigning for a long time. He didn't say who's on this particular committee that's been organised, how many times they've actually met, and is there any report coming out? I know for a fact in Onchan, we're able to get a couple of bus shelters, but we've been told that they haven't got the money to install them. So that, to me, that's actually ridiculous. And the other issue would be, as far as I'm concerned, is use the bus drivers to say, do a month's paperwork to say, this bus stop gets used regularly by people who require disability access all the time, and narrow it down, narrow that number down to about, say, 10, and do them. I mean, I just can't understand them not engaging either with people who have disabilities, because people do struggle. And the bus, as far as I'm concerned, the bus network should be free. It doesn't make any difference whether what age you're on. Just make it free, and then that would be a bigger kudos for the government just to do it.
How would you pay for that then, David? How would you make it free? What would you stop doing in order to finance that?
We're paying for it anyway. And the issue is, when you see the buses going round, and I look at them and think to myself, the ones passed through Wonka and whatever, the ones that are going on bigger journeys, they're about maybe half full. The rest of them travel around, there's about five or six people on them. And as for the what we call the grey Mercs that were bought, they're terrible. They don't pick anybody up. The communities in Onchan, as far as I'm concerned, as an individual now, not as a commissioner, is Birch Hill. It gets serviced on a loop, but Birch Hill is bigger than it ever was. The buses can't get up there, but the little buses could do. Why do we have... we have sheltered units at Springfield Court and Haywood Court. Why can't we get the little grey Mercs to come in, say, twice a week, so the residents can get out and get back and do their shopping?
I suppose anyway. It depends if the residents want to go out on the allotted times twice a week, I suppose.
Well, somebody needs to ask. That's all it is, it requires. Somebody needs to do some paperwork to either the local authority or the community, Manx Blind Welfare Centre, saying, how can we help the community? What can we do as a government to say we can engage with you and we can provide a better service? It's miserable today. It's raining. And you'd be surprised how many people are probably stuck inside because they can't get access to a bus easy.
All right. So questions to be asked. David Quirk, thank you very much indeed for joining us. It'd be interesting to find out who is on that committee that Eric was referring to. We will ask that question. John has texted to say, how can it cost £10,000 to drop a curb? And texter ending 376 says, why not put the bus stop refurbishment out to tender? £10,000 each sounds a bit high. See what prices you get back. 66 13 68 is the number to call if you'd like to talk live on air. We will be talking waiting lists just after this.
The Man in Line with Beth Espy.
12:22. It is Beth sitting in for Andy, who's still a little bit under the weather, so we wish him well and hope he's back very, very soon. We've just been talking about buses, and I've just had an interesting chat with somebody who suggested, why don't we have a dedicated free bus service for people with disabilities? See if that's what people with mobility issues want, if it works, and then if it does, maybe consider rolling it out a little bit more. And David Quirk mentioned we should have a free bus service. I don't think we got to the bottom of how we'd actually pay for that. But if buses were free, would you use them more? Would you be more tempted to leave your car at home and jump on a bus? Something else I just want to mention. I mentioned the Peel commissioners considering plans to encourage more recycling within the town. So they are investigating the possibility of introducing community recycling points, which they claim would be in easy walking distance of every household. I've just heard back from the chair of Peel Town Commissioners, who says, as a board, Peel Town Commissioners is considering options to improve recycling accessibility and our recycling rates in Peel. It's part of our wider commitment to the climate change agenda. No decision has been taken by Peel Town Commissioners, and we would consult with the wider community before making any decisions. So if you are a Peel resident, how would you feel about that? If you could walk to a recycling point and dump all your recyclable material there, would you be okay with having a fortnightly rubbish collection? 166 177, studio@manxradio.com, or better still, 66 1368. Let's have a chat on air about it. We were hearing about the recycling plans for Douglas yesterday. There's a great video on the Manx Radio Facebook page and our YouTube channel as well, if you want to see how plans are progressing there. Something, though, which has been dominating the headlines this morning is the average waiting time for a first appointment for Manx Care Services. They've gone up in 2/3 of its departments compared to this time last year. Now, this is a response to a Freedom of Information request from Manx Radio, which shows that in some departments, including physiotherapy and podiatry, people are now waiting as long as 3 years for their first appointment. Health Minister Laurie Hooper has been giving Chanel Suku his response to those figures, first of all.
In terms of waiting times, more broadly, we know they've gone up across the board. That's inevitable, I think, with the pandemic. We've just been talking about staff absences. It's inevitable that waiting times go up. Manx Care have a restoration and recovery programme, is what it's called. They've started phase one of that. They're working at plans in conjunction with the Department of Health right now to do a phase two rollout, which will be significantly enhanced. We are putting a business case together to go to Treasury and explain this and actually talk about how we can fund it. And if that all gets approved, then we will be announcing that in due course. But there are definitely plans in place to bring those waiting lists down. The key question for Manx Care isn't just can you tackle the high waiting lists we have now, it's what are you going to do next to stop those waiting lists get back up to those levels. And again, Manx Care have got longer term plans for how we change delivery of services to make sure that the waiting lists we have right now very much become an anomaly and are dealt with, and we don't see them again in 2, 3, 4, 5 years' time.
The average waiting time for a first appointment is over 3 years, namely for physiotherapy and podiatry. Is it acceptable?
So the answer to that is quite simple. No, it isn't acceptable. I've been clear about that in my election manifest. I've been clear about it since I've been appointed as health minister. And actually, Manx Care would agree with you. We all know our waiting times are too long. This is not a surprise to anyone that has been paying any attention. It's certainly not a surprise to people that are on those waiting lists. So we need to get the waiting lists we have dealt with so that people that have been waiting for those lengths of time get treated, but also so the people that are added to the list today and tomorrow don't themselves then experience this 2 or 3 year wait. One of the actions in the mandate we've given to Manx Care is that this year we are asking them to work up procedures and processes to be able to report on what's called a referral to treatment target. So that's an 18-week process that says from the moment your GP refers you to the specialty, within 18 weeks you will have started your course of treatment. We know that asking Manx Care to deliver that this year isn't realistic. You can't go from where we are to that overnight, but the intention is to be able to report on those more regularly this year, but then from next year onwards to start actually rolling that out across the services. But there are, as you've already identified, a lot of people already on the waiting lists, and it's going to take time to work through all those people, but that's what we're hoping this restoration and recovery work will do.
That's Laurie Hooper, the Health Minister there. But let's pause that for a moment. Although if you've got any thoughts on waiting lists, if you've got any issues yourself, I'd love to hear from you. Let's go back to the lines and join Ed on line one. And another bus issue, Ed.
Yes, good afternoon. What it is, I can't understand. I have a little breathing difficulty. And you go to the bus station in Douglas, and sometimes there's 5 buses all puffing emissions out, but they don't switch the engine off. But when you get to Peel, there's a big notice, switch engine off. You wouldn't mind, but there's only one bus there anyway. But as I say, I just can't understand. Maybe there's a reason. Maybe there's no emissions from buses.
This is an interesting one, Ed. Now, I seem to remember a few years ago, Nigel Havers spearheaded a campaign about idling, I think, as it's known, when you just leave your engine running generally. This is, applies to people in cars as well. And I don't know whether there's a general feeling that actually, well, it doesn't matter if you're just sitting there waiting, the emissions don't matter.
Yeah, but what I can't understand is why is it a peel after switching the engine off?
That's a really good question.
I've been told because somebody complained. Well, there's loads of people complained in Douglas, but of course it makes no difference.
Do you know what, Ed? I'm going to ask that question and find out the answer for you.
You're a very good lady, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much indeed for calling. An interesting one that. If you know the answer before the end of the programme, I'd love to hear it if you are somebody who works in the buses, perhaps. Jack Williamson's been in touch to say most older people get free bus passes anyway. That is very true. If you have a bus pass, are you more inclined to use the bus and leave your car at home? Pompey Pete says, why not have a similar scheme as Guernsey on the buses? £1, whatever the journey, short or long. And John says, I would definitely use buses more often if they were free, as it's both cheaper and easier for me to drive to work than it is to get the bus every day. I realise it won't be cheaper and easier for everyone, but it is for me, says John. So some interesting thoughts there. Yeah, what's the most important thing when it comes to getting on the bus? Is it the fact that maybe it's, you know, it's not a very expensive way to travel at the moment, considering fuel prices are going up? Or is it the convenience? If you can't get to exactly where you want to go to, does that put you off using the bus? It's an interesting one, isn't it? Let's go back to the waiting list times, because we heard from Laurie Hooper just before, but Manx Care's CEO, Teresa Cope, has been talking to Amy Griffiths about waiting times.
So it's all a concern, really. We made a commitment, and we still have that commitment, to reduce waiting times for patients. It was one of our priority objectives as Manx Care launched, but we inherited very significant waiting times, and during the course of last year, you will know that we were responding to COVID for quite a lot of that year. And that obviously had an impact on our service delivery, even just down to social distancing within outpatients, but it also impacted on our bed capacity. And I think it's unfortunate, but it's a reality that during the last year, we were treating more patients in hospital with COVID and experiencing a higher level of staff absence than what we had the previous year. And clearly that has an impact on our ability to be able to respond to service delivery, and we had to prioritise. It is unfortunate that we've seen some waiting lists grow, but we are very committed to responding to that. We have our restoration recovery programme in place, and we continue to build our plan for phase two. So we are and remain very committed to getting our waiting lists under control. So as I say, a lot's done already, but an awful lot of work to do.
There are a couple of departments that I would like to focus on that do seem to have jumped quite highly. The first one is the wait for geriatric medicine, which that has gone up by nearly 2,000% in a year. Why do you think waiting times there have jumped so drastically?
I think it's an increased knowledge about the specialty and the creation of a geriatric medicine service. We are putting investment into the out-of-hospital frailty service. We have very recently increased the number of community geriatricians that we have, and that will all help. So whilst the numbers overall increase is relatively small, I accept the percentage increase is quite significant.
Another department is the CAM service. So what are the main issues there when it comes to wait times for a first appointment?
So CAMS has seen a significant increase in referrals. There has been a 42% increase in referrals in the last 12 months, which is significant. And we have started a piece of work to look at a very different way of delivering child and adolescent wellbeing services, which puts a more stronger focus on early intervention and self-help. That will take time, and we want to really change that delivery model. We need to put extra capacity into that service. It's an area where we are very, very committed to make sure the waiting times are reduced. They're very long at the moment, and that's not acceptable.
That's the Chief Executive of Manx Care, Teresa Cope, talking to Amy there. Now, lots of thoughts from you on waiting lists, and particularly from people who've had to wait a long time for certain appointments. We know there's been COVID over the past couple of years. That isn't going to have helped the situation. We are promised that measures are being taken to try and reduce waiting lists and to try and make sure that we don't get to this level again. But how happy are you with that? Is there anything particularly you've been waiting for? We're just hearing about CAMHS there. That's the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service. More referrals mean longer waiting lists, but there are clearly significant issues among our young people which need addressing. And so if you have a young person who's waiting for that service, I just wonder what it's like for you. Kay's been in touch to say, I've had to take private physio and podiatry as I've been told there are people worse off than me requiring those services. I'm unable to walk or do my feet. How serious has your condition got to be to get these facilities? Helen says Manx Care isn't coping and needs to deal with issues rather than just talking about them. So many very experienced practitioners and doctors have left or had to leave, leaving either a void or serious depletion. What is needed is a reputable healthcare which would attract medics to the island, which is not the case, says Helen at the moment, nor was it before COVID. And Roz says mental health lists have gone down, but only because you get one appointment to come off the waiting list, but then you wait ages for follow-up treatment or assessment. Not good enough, especially for children. 166 177, studio@manxradio.com, or even better, 66 13 68. Howard's waiting to talk to you. You are listening to The Man in Line on Manx Radio. It's Beth sitting in for Andy. 12:35. Let's go to some of your text messages now. Juan says, I wonder how many of the Ban the Prayers group of MHKs will be standing outside the Royal Chapel on Tynwald Day while prayers are said inside. We'll certainly keep an eye out for that one, Chewin. Sharon has been on about buses. The Connect buses for the north of the island are just awful, she says, to get on and off. They're really cramped. Perhaps a question should be asked in Keys as to whether Ellen Van and Bus Software is actually able to accommodate a free travel Fridays interim conclusive test. I'm all for that. So maybe giving it a whirl just one day a week. Don't know. Certainly an idea, isn't it? John and Sean in Douglas say fuel prices at fuel stations have gone up 10 pence per litre yesterday. Does anyone know that? And does anyone know why? Very disappointed drivers, John and Sean say they are. Well, how much is the fuel in the petrol station nearest to you? Let's have a look and see how much they're differing around the island then, maybe. Richard says, too easy to catch COVID on the buses. Everyone coughing and spluttering. Not for me, I'm afraid. That's certainly consideration. You could choose to wear a face covering on a bus, I suppose, if that made you feel a little bit better. Make sure all the windows are open. There's nothing worse than getting on, certainly on a warm day, if the windows aren't open. But most people are sensible. That's why they are listened to in Peel, says Des. So this is in referring to Ed talking about buses having to switch off their engines in Peel. It's because we're all sensible out west. Of course it is. Pam says the reason I don't use the bus is because of the infrequency of the service, which often ceases in the evenings and also at the weekend. So I suppose, again, this goes back to what David was saying a little bit earlier about needing to speak to people and finding out exactly what it is they would want from their bus service. But then it's all very well trying to cater to everybody. If nobody uses the service that we're actually put on or whatever, if things were changed, then, you know, it leaves government, I suppose, in a bit of a pickle. Fuel on Sunday in Onchan was 178 per litre, Monday 188. Why? So this seems to be something that's catching your attention, so we need to look into that one. Neil says, little wonder there are long waiting lists for medical appointments. The sheer volume of people that have relocated to live over here has overwhelmed our services. This latest drive to bring in even more new residents is crazy, says Neil. The quality of life for Manx people has rapidly declined during the past 30 years or so. Congestion, noise, light pollution, ridiculous house prices for our young people, etc., etc. We need less people, not more. Or is it fewer people? I can never get that one right. Okay, what do you make of what Neil's just had to say there? Is that the problem? If we just, said no to anybody else coming over, would we be okay job-wise and everything? If you think about the way that life in the Isle of Man has changed over the past 30 years, I was having a chat with somebody about the number of businesses that we've seen springing up, particularly food and drink businesses, which actually I think has been great over the past few years. We're really seeing a buzz in that sort of area. Would we get that if we weren't trying to encourage investment in the Isle of Man? Sue says, in a world of propaganda, the truth is always a conspiracy theory. Refusing to hate Russia is the new refusing to wear a mask. Madge has been in touch to say, how many of us thought we would get free bus travel when we reached 60? Got to 60, no free bus now until 66 when we get our pension. Some have no car and have to use buses every day. That's a really good point, actually. That level of where you were going to get free travel has changed over the past few years, hasn't it? No windows to open on the Connect buses and a mask stop you catching COVID on a bus, really? I don't think so, says texter ending 488. And texter ending 515 says the majority of buses that wait at the Ballycrink stop in Onchan do not turn their engines off and are often there for 4 or 5 minutes. It's very annoying, especially at 6:25. Just want to tell you about something else that was in the House of Keys today. This was a question from Douglas North MHK John Wonenberg for the Treasury Minister. He wanted to know what plans he had to review the Manx state pension, both in terms of the amount paid and the inflationary link used to uprate the amount. Let me just take you through briefly the answer here from Dr. Allenson. He said the new Manx state pension was introduced on the 6th of April 2019 following an extensive public consultation. It applies to everyone reaching state pension age after that date and has been well received. Subject to transitional arrangements, the rules for the Manx state pension are much more straightforward and transparent than those of the previous state retirement pension that they replaced, allowing people, he says, to properly plan for their income in retirement. There has to be long-term stability, written in bold, in the state pension arrangements to enable this to happen. Therefore, Dr. Anderson says, I can confirm Treasury currently has no immediate plans to review the current state pension arrangements which determine the amounts payable to individuals. Turning now to the annual uprating of state pensions as regards people who reach state pension age before the 6th of April 2016, under the terms of the 1977 Social Security Reciprocal Agreement with the UK, we are obligated to pay the same amounts here as are payable in the UK. People who reached state pension age before April 2016 currently make up by far the largest cohort of pensioners. It would be extremely difficult to break away from these arrangements, and I, he says, would strongly advocate against going down that route. Incidentally, that was all in bold as well. As regards people who reach state pension age after the 6th of April 2016, the Isle of Man government's at liberty to set its own rates. However, it has been Treasury policy to apply the UK's triple lock since it was introduced in 2010. If we should resolve to pay any extra to pensioners in the Isle of Man over and above that afforded by the triple lock, I believe we should look to do so using local supplementary schemes. But we must also be conscious of the affordability of any further increases in expenditure out of the Manx National Insurance Fund and the ability of that fund to provide state pensions for the generations to come. Treasury has already put in place a number of social security schemes to help those on low and fixed incomes with the increasing cost of living. And he goes through what some of those support payments are. He concludes by saying Treasury will continue to monitor the effects of the current inflationary pressures and will determine what further help may be necessary in due course. And I'd like to take this opportunity, he says, to mention the report by the UK government actuary into the operation of the Manx National Insurance Fund over the 5-year period until March 2017 will be laid before next month's sitting of Tynwald. Work is about to start on the production of the report for the 5-year period until the end of March 2022. And those two reports are really going to help build a picture as to the projected costs of national insurance funded benefits, predominantly state pensions, on the island over the next 50 years or so. And just listen to this. He says it may be that as a result, Treasury will have to bring forward changes to the current scheme to ensure it remains viable and that it does not place an unfair burden on current workers and future generations. So if you are of retirement age or you are approaching it, I wonder what you make of what Dr. Allenson had to say about that. We will be hoping to speak to him. Sue in Douglas has been in touch about waiting lists. Now, she says not just the people on the waiting list, but those they won't put on for various reasons who have to sort alternatives if they can afford it. Somebody else says, the trouble is with Manx don't care. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. My mother had an eye appointment cancelled. They didn't even bother letting patient transfer know, which is not good enough, especially for an eight-year-old. Andrew says, a three-year waiting list sounds like bliss. I've been told I have five or more years wait to see an orthopaedic specialist. Manx Care is going backwards, focusing on building its management team rather than improving patient care. And Pamela says, how many times can Manx Care spin the same story about inherited problems and the legacy of COVID? It's time for our weak and ineffective politicians to start asking the challenging questions about what has actually changed for the customers of Manx Care. Well done to Manx Radio for asking those questions. There was a response to the Freedom of Information request that we got from the Manx Care. John Moss has just walked into the building and he's been in the House of Keys. We've been hearing about some of the answers to questions in the House of Keys this morning. I'm going to ask you to sit down, John. Take a microphone.
I actually brought in something else. Are there some headphones here? No. I brought in something else, but I was this morning, an interesting morning. Technically, it was interesting as well on my part because... The things you have in front of you that bounce around and show you're broadcasting weren't bouncing around. We were broadcasting, apparently, but it's difficult to tell whether you are or not. But putting that to one side,
it was
some
a brief
interesting
flip.
Answers.
Yes.
And they sort of split questions in two and got some a third reading in and a couple of bills in the middle, etc. But some one or two of the answers were interesting, which we'll look at. And also, I did manage to talk to two of the members from Ramsey about an issue which is really hitting hard in Ramsey at the moment, and that's the chemist's situation about people having to queue because of the lack of chemist support up there. I think there's one provider up there, Lloyd's, we say who it is. So I spoke to both MHKs about their view of it. They agree, and it has been a serious situation for some time. So we'll hear more about them tomorrow morning on the programme. Also, the PAG, the Positive Action Group, met last night. We're talking, David Watts was talking to them about statistics he got from Freedom of Information requests, which he said showed that the Isle of Man's standard of education had been dropping in the last year or so, diminishing, etc., especially in areas like STEM, which is mathematics and science. He said he got the information from Freedom of Information. It'd be interesting to know if you compare that with the UK, whether in fact their educational standards have been dropping at the same time because of COVID. But anyway, I spoke to the minister about that as well. And also the a delegation from Alberta, Canada were there. And I spoke to their speaker. Interestingly about, I'm using the word interestingly, well, it was all interesting, about issues in Alberta, Canada, about the disparity of the Indigenous populations. They've got all sorts of different people living in Canada, how they actually deal with making sure that all those disparate parts of the community are looked after, and also the amount of women they have in their assembly as well, because they obviously saw the House of Keys referred to Timald as well, which has more members as well, women, and said, well, you're doing pretty well. And I asked him about his, and you can hear the answer about that in due course as well. So quite interesting. And other answers as well. But the bit I was going to give you was something that proves that politics doesn't stand still and you have to keep up to speed with it, even when you're the Speaker of the House of Keys.
Okay, go on.
Well, no, it's actually a clip. I don't know if you can actually play that.
So this is just to show that politics never stands still. This is something from the Speaker of the House of Keys, Juan Watterson. he returned today from a two-week hiatus with COVID, and he responded to a question from North Douglas MHK, David Ashford.
Call on the Minister for Enterprise, Dr. Allenson, to reply. No, Mr. Crookall. My apologies. Oh, you go away for 2 weeks and everything changes.
My humble colleague, please.
My sincere apologies, Mr. Crookall.
So even the Speaker, who was sitting at home just for a moment, forgot that there had been a change of ministers while he was away. So you have to keep up to speed and find out what's going on.
You really do. It has been interesting times. Now, you mentioned the Ramsey Pharmacy issue, and we will be hearing more about that. We were actually alerted to this from a message from somebody who was in Ramsey. And I think it's a good point to say that sometimes we can't be across every single thing that's happening. And if we're not aware of something that's happening, then we need to know.
In our defence, down in the newsroom, I will say a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we were alerted and ran news stories on the fact that they were down and had to close one thing. At the time, it looked like it was because of the COVID situation, which had gone up to over 5 in our numbers, and that's the reason why. And it was a simple, quiet hiatus, etc., and it would come back to normal in a short time. But apparently, and when I spoke to Mr. Hooper, he said he'd highlighted it in his manifesto. It's been going on a long time, the fact that Ramsay is dependent on one provider, and that can lead to problems if that provider has problems staffing. Nothing to do with the staff. The staff are working very, very hard up there. But if they run out of staff numbers to actually man the various counters, that one provider can be difficult for the whole community.
John Moss, thank you very much indeed. A little rattled through what was in the House of Keys. Apologies for putting you on the spot there, but it's really good to know what has been going on the AM side of things earlier this morning. Now, we had a call from Ed, if you remember, and he was talking about buses having to turn their engines off when they were in Peel, but not in Douglas. And I've had a message from somebody in the know who says the matter of buses idling at Lord Street is because of the slope of the ground at that point. If the engine was switched off, the suspension would set and tilt the bus away from the bus stop and increase the height of the step to get on and off. By keeping the engine idling, the suspension system automatically keeps the bus sitting level for better passenger access. So I hope that answers that question, and thank you very much indeed to you for emailing that in. Jeff says, I listened with some amusement to the criticism aimed at bus drivers, so I suggest some of these people really need to study a timetable, then get in their cars and drive from Onchan to Port Erin, stopping at every other bus stop and call at the airport and do the double lap around Castletown because of the diversion via Colby, negotiating traffic at peak travelling times, the 30 miles, and arrive exactly on time in Port Erin. Would anybody fancy doing that? It's a good point, isn't it? They need to scrap the 90 minutes between 4 and 5.30 where us pensioners have to pay half price. It is annoying. That is from Charlie. The concern about buses idling at stops highlights the piecemeal thinking of government, despite its climate board, to reduce its CO2 emissions. That's from G. I think we've actually got an answer to that question of why that happens now. But idling, I suppose, as I mentioned to Ed, it's not just an issue for bus drivers. You quite often see people just sitting in their cars with the engines running. Perhaps they're waiting for somebody, or perhaps, you know, they have to do something on their phone or whatever. So I don't think we can just blame bus drivers for idling. Pat says, during the elections, MHKs promised to protect the triple lock on pensions, but once elected, they all voted with Alf Cannon to scrap the triple lock. Can Manx Radio put it to any MHK live over the air to see if we can get any to bring this promise back to Tynwald for approval? Charles has been in touch to say phoning Markwell House is a nightmare. I use pay-as-you-go, so when I ring them concerning a benefits issue, I get charged to listen to a very long-winded message. The automated message states that calls are recorded, website addresses, then various different departments and other unnecessary information. Finally, once you get through, you usually end up with a leave a message service. They state they'll get back to you, but they don't always. When they do call you back, it's at a time of their pleasing. It costs me, says Charles, around £5 to get anything done. Furthermore, their public service office opening times have been reduced by half. Not right, that. Central heating oil, £1.02 per litre. That's a text in from number ending 175. Some more messages about waiting times. How many times can Manx Care spin the same story about inherited problems and the legacy of COVID? It's time for our weak and ineffective politicians to start asking the challenging questions. That was from Pamela. I think I read that one actually earlier. So Manx Care's solution to its problems is to ask Treasury for more money. When it was introduced, we were promised it was going to save 1% of its budget annually, which was always nonsense, as logically after a century it should be entirely cost-free, and already it is spending more while increasing waiting lists. I suppose, again, if we were going to play devil's advocate, we have had, and we heard Theresa Cope referring to the COVID issue. They've had more people to deal with COVID in hospitals. That has forced the closure of certain things. It's disrupted services. Is that enough of an answer, though, as to why we are in this position? George says Manx Care itself costs more than the Department of Health and Social Care did. John in Douglas, this is another one about fuel prices. Fuel at stations has gone up to yesterday 10 pence per litre. How were they able to do this? And where is the Office of Fair Trading in this matter? And the biggest problem on the buses are drivers who set off before all the passengers are seated. I know some of us are slow, but surely we deserve more consideration. That was a text in from Jill. Another bus driver has been in touch to say the buses have to switch their engines off in Peel because the gentleman living opposite comes out and times the bus and complains if it is there longer than 2 minutes with its engine running. OK, so perhaps that gives the answer to that situation in Peel. So it's good. We've got both sides there. Thank you very much indeed for sorting that out for us. Some information you can find on the Manx Radio website. Timwell Day is on Tuesday, and one of the historic traditions of this day is the right for members of the general public to present a petition for redress of grievance. So essentially, if there's something you feel needs looking at and possibly changing, you can walk up to Timwell Hill and submit a petition. There are, though, certain rules you have to follow. And Clerk of Timwell, Jonathan King, was talking to Phil Gorn on Agenda about that last night. And it is a really interesting discussion. So if you go to the Manx Radio website, you can listen back to Agenda. You just hit the play button and find Agenda and listen back to last night's programme. And Jonathan King will take you through all the details about what you need to do if you decide that you want to submit a petition for redress of grievance. Still to come on Manx Radio later on today, we have update. There will be a full roundup of all today's news, and that will include some of the information that John was referring to in the House of Keys. Lots of interesting questions in Keys this morning, so some interesting answers that we have for you. And nobody really been in touch yet about Peel commissioners considering plans to encourage more recycling within the town. It seems that they are following the Douglas model and introducing community recycling points, claiming that they would be within easy walking distance of each household, and then rubbish would be collected fortnightly instead of every week. In a newsletter to residents, the commissioners say more information will be released about that later in the year. So no plans have been made as yet. That is all from Man in Line today. Thank you so much for your company. It's been great to have you with me this afternoon. I think it's going to be Alex on the programme tomorrow. All being well, he will be joined by the Cabinet Office Minister, Kate Lord-Brennan. So if there are any questions that you have for Miss Lord-Brennan, it'd be great to hear from you tomorrow. Thank you very much indeed to Howard Kane, who's been producing today's programme and has been talking to the callers. Christy D is up next with 1 to 3. Lots coming up on that programme. And then Alex Brindley will be following her at 3 p.m. And then Christy sometimes pops back. Is it Tuesday? I have absolutely no idea what day it is today, but I think it's Tuesday, so there's probably going to be pizza in the studio as well. This Man in Line programme, you'll be delighted to hear, will be available as a podcast should you wish to listen back to it. I'll speak to you soon.